Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode, we discuss a big day in NFL exhibition history as the Bears, Packers, and Steelers provided their fan bases with some preseason excitement. Some more recent news is from the XFL with a very famous new owner, and we'll have it all coming up in just one moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, your portal to positive football history. Welcome to the Pig Pen. And we welcome you to the Sports History Network, your headquarters of sports yesteryear, where we are going to bring you today the August 3rd football history headlines from all through football history. So we're going to start off with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. And it comes from the Pittsburgh Press from August 4th, 1960, about an exhibition game played the day prior. It says, Steelers use air lanes for 43-16 win. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers on August 3rd, 1960, defeated the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL 43-16 in an exhibition game between the NFL and the CFL teams at CNE Stadium in Toronto, Ontario. The Steelers used a wider Canadian field to showcase their big-arm quarterback Bobby Lane and his quartet of talented wideouts and Buddy Dial, Preston Carpenter, Jimmy Orr, and Jack McLaren to put on an aerial attack. In just one half of play, Lane was 10 of 13 for 177 yards and two touchdowns. The Steel City team came and raced out to a 36-3 halftime lead, playing under the Canadian rules, and they never looked back. The article goes on to say that Pittsburgh owner Art Rooney stated that he was particularly delighted with the CFL rule on punt coverage, where defenders had to give the runners a 5-yard cushion to make a play on the ball, thus eliminating a whole need for a fair catch in Canadian football. Rooney stated that this might be something the NFL might want to explore. August 3rd, 1962, the 29th annual Chicago Charities College All-Star Game sees the Green Bay Packers routing the All-Stars 42-20 before 65,000 at Soldier Field in Chicago. The MVP award, always given to the college team's player, happened to be John Hadle, the Kansas quarterback. August 3rd, 1970, the NFL work stoppage ends as the Players Association and the NFL agree on a $19.1 million deal. August 3rd, 1986, the first ever NFL's American Bowl exhibition game takes place at London's Wembley Stadium as the Chicago Bears defeated the Dallas Cowboys 17-6. And finally, August 3rd, 2020, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, with partners Danny Garcia and a private investment firm, Redbird Capital, purchased the bankrupt XFL for a sum of $15 million from the Alpha Entertainment LLC. The Johnson & Garcia Entertainment multi-platform company, Seven Bucks Companies, plan on working hard to make the XFL an entertaining group for the fans. The creator of the Restart XFL happened to be The Rock's former boss, Vince McMahon, and prior to that, Dwayne J. played football in the 1991 National Champion Miami Hurricanes. The ironic Hollywood twist to this tale is that Johnson portrayed the acting role on the HBO show Ballers, where his character was a retired NFL player and bought the KC Chiefs. Life truly does imitate art. And don't forget, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, also used to play in the CFL. So that we know that they had some talks here earlier in 2021. They broke off the talks for now, but who knows what's going to happen. The CFL is getting ready to start. If they have a great season, maybe they don't have to do anything. But if things don't go as well as they planned, or we get some more pandemic type issues coming up and there's money at stake, well, you might see those two leagues merge after all, or at least play some common games and cross play there. Now it's a good time to tell you about a couple of our sponsors. Newspapers.com. If you want to be able to read through some of the old articles like the Pittsburgh Press, like we did today, you need to check out newspapers.com. At newspapers.com, you get access to over 640 million pages worth of news from the U.S., Canada, England, Scotland, Ireland, and more, dating all the way back to 1798. Get a free one-week subscription to newspapers.com by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. And with a paid subscription, you'll also be helping to support the production of this and other Sports History Network shows for those free 7 days. sportshistorynetwork.com/newspapers. Now let's hear something from our other sponsor, Row One Brand. At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One Gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One Shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes. Telling you, Row One Brand, great products there. Same with newspapers.com. Help support those sponsors to keep this show and others on Sports History Network going strong. Now let's go to our Hall of Fame birthdays. August 3rd, 1898, Denison, Iowa. Gordon Locke, he was a fullback from Iowa that entered the College Football Hall of Fame in 1960. He was a key factor in Iowa's first ever game with rival Ohio State in 1926, as he rushed for 126 hard-fought yards and two touchdowns per the footballfoundation.org website. After his playing days, Mr. Locke became the head coach at Western Reserve University, which is now part of Case Western Reserve. August 3rd, 1925, Chicago, Illinois. The legendary coach that graduated from Coe College, Marv Levy, was born. Marv started his pro coaching career in the NFL with the Philadelphia Eagles as the kicking team's coach, and then in 1970, he joined George Allen's staff with the Los Angeles Rams as a special teams coach. He then got his break to be the head man of a pro football team, while he was north of the border with the CFL's Montreal Alouettes from 1973 to 1977. His Montreal teams won two Grey Cups in 5 seasons, and Levy, he returned to the stateside to the NFL in 1978 as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. His Kansas City team showed improvement until the strike-shortened season of 1982, when they fell onto a dismal 3-6 mark, and he left the franchise. During the next 2 seasons, he coached the USFL's Chicago Blitz, and then in 1986, he took over the reins of the Buffalo Bills. In his second season at the helm of the Bills, they were 12-4 and won their first 6 straight AFC titles. The Pro Football Hall of Fame says that Levy was the winningest head coach in Buffalo Bills history. And during that run, they also played in 4 straight Super Bowls under Levy's watch and had the highest win percentage in the league behind the 49ers. Levy was voted as the NFL Coach of the Year in 1988 and the AFC Coach of the Year in 1988 and 1993 and 1995. And Marv Levy was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2001. August 3rd, 1934, Rochester, New York. Don Hollander, he was an end and quarterback for the Army teams in the early 1950s. He was selected to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1985 by the National Football Foundation voters. And after he hung up his cleats, Mr. Hollander, he coached the U.S. Military Academy's Army team. And Major Hollander died in service of his country in 1967 at the Battle of Ump Thon in Vietnam with the U.S. 1st Infantry Division. We thank him for his service and his families for his sacrifice. August 3, 1938, Forkland, Alabama, Maxie Bohan, the former center of Georgia Tech, was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1988 per his NFF bio. And when he went into the NFL, he switched sides of the ball and played linebacker for the Philadelphia Eagles, LA Rams, and the Washington Redskins. His pro career, he combined 11 seasons where he made the Pro Bowl 9 times and was voted as an All-Pro twice. He was on the Eagles 1960 NFL Championship team. Now, we thank you once again for joining us here today. You can find more of us and more great sports history on the sportshistorynetwork.com. And, you know, there is 20-some podcasters, this one included, that are just bringing you sports history, busting their hind ends, getting you some great research, some great guests, and very entertaining information that'll give you hours of enjoyment listening. So you can't go wrong there. SportsHistoryNetwork.com. You can find our website, PigskinDispatch.com, to bring you all the great football history news. We have that powerful Earl to Go search engine on our front page up in the search box. Search on almost anything related to American football, and you should have some answers there with some great articles, great podcasts, and some pretty neat other items in there too. So we hope you enjoy that, and we thank you for listening to us once again, and thank you for reading PigskinDispatch.com and supporting the Sports History Network. Until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, PigskinDispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.